And we're testing again. We're still not getting a whole heck of a lot.
He does like all these movies, soundtracks, sound effects, all that stuff. I think of the guy's name now. What if it's the same person?
It could be.
He just did the, what was that new movie that came out? He did the soundtrack for
La La La. Okay.
For you rather, he said, I never got it.
She said, no.
So they sent two more.
Oh, great.
Download any fruit. The show's not live, you.
No. Normally, yes, but we.
It'll seem like it because we do no editing of any kind.
Sure, we do. Cut the beginning and the end.
But anyway, if you want to insert the music.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, if you want any graphics, I don't know if you have a web page with the site.
Absolutely.
And then send me what you're doing, and I'll cross promote it.
You got it. And that would be the theme from The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
So you're a sound man in Hollywood.
Pardon me?
No, he's not a sound man.
Oh, you're not a sound
man. He's an everything man.
He's an
everything. He is the guy. Where is this site?
I was going to ask if you knew a gentleman. He does sound stuff for movies and stuff in Hollywood. His name is Christopher Aud.
I don't know.
Yeah, my wife went to, she actually went to high school with him in Zionsville, Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which last one. He just did a movie. They just put it out in the theaters. I can't remember which one it was. I texted my wife and asked her which one it was, but she hadn't got back to me yet.
So what is the site I want to go to grab this?
Oh, media.forbiddenzone2.com. If you go there right now, you can see the... But it's got all kinds of photos, graphics, and two pieces of downloadable pieces of music.
Cool. Perfect.
You know, that run like a minute 40. They're not long.
That's good.
Perfect.
Little bumper.
Well, you know, if it's all right with you, we'll just make that the intro music for this
episode.
Yeah.
That works. Cool. Well, I guess we could start this. I'm actually recording because I'm too lazy to...
That works. Are levels looking good for all of us?
Yeah, everything is looking just like it's supposed to. So they say.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We'll introduce ourselves real quick because there's no way you're going to know who we are. But we're Brian and Baxter. We are actually paranormal investigators. Exactly. Awesome. We dip our fingers into everything weird and horror and strange and everything else as well. So we're not the kind of paranormal investigators that run around thinking that every little creek is a ghost. We're not the TV ghost hunters, I'll put it that way. We like to approach it a little more scientifically and be a little more serious. But what we're really into, for some reason, is pop culture. So this is a huge honor for me because this is you, founder of the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. And this is very exciting to have you sitting here.
Thank you, gentlemen. thank you, boys.
The first episode of The Gong Show. Did I say that?
That was very exciting. So, yeah. We force people to watch that.
Well, I've got a little story that goes along with it.
Ooh.
We'll save that. I'm going to tell you right now, we didn't even know what The Gong Show was because it hadn't aired yet. And if I would have known, I wouldn't have gone on.
Right.
Okay, yeah, they were quite demeaning to people, even though it was entertaining.
True. Yeah.
So I decided, fine, if we win, we'll take the check. If we lose, I'm going to throw the little fuck off the stage. And I've thrown bigger, more important people off stages and into pools. So, but anyway, they didn't gong us. They gave us a check, and the little fuck stayed on the stage.
Oh,
so I did blow some smoke on his face.
I remember that.
But it's a funny video.
Oh, it's a funny video. It's a great video. Now, that the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo kind of came about because of your time. Was it in France?
Well, I was in a theater group in France called the Grand Magic Circus. It's kind of a musical, theatrical troupe picked up by Peter Brook from the Royal Shakespeare Company, gave him a budget. They flew me over. I was part of the group 2-3 years. Danny did a summer with us, his first professional gig. It was one of my inspirations, but it wasn't really the same as what we did with the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. But it was one of my influences.
Right, right. Now, do you ever hold that over Danny's head? You know, like, I started this. I can end you anytime. Do you ever Big Brother him like that?
No.
Yeah, you're the powerhouse behind all this. You know that.
Well, I'm the guy who does the barbecuing at our Sunday family barbecuing.
That's important.
Yeah, that's an important post.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, I saw something that I could not track down an answer for. And granted, I didn't have a whole lot of time to do it, but I saw something that said the new Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo.
There ain't any new Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo.
That's what I could find.
But there will be Mystic Knights of the Forbidden Zone. We're promoting Forbidden Zone 2. We're doing an Indiegogo fundraiser. One more week to go, ForbiddenZone2.com. And one of the perks we give is you can be an extra on the set in the film of ForbiddenZone.2, and those people will be knighted on the set as a Mystic Knight of the Forbidden Zone.
That is awesome.
I so want to do that, and I'm awesome. So not on that end of the country.
Yeah, well, the thing is before you leave, make sure we get that URL to the Indiegogo fundraiser.
All they have to do is go to ForbiddenZone2.com.
Just go there, and that'll take them right there.
Hell, they can go to RichardElfman.com. They can go to ForbiddenZone.com. It'll all take them to that site.
Perfect. I'm a big fan of Indiegogo as it is.
They're wonderful. Yeah. They are wonderful.
They really are.
Yeah. They're so supportive of independent filmmakers and independent anything.
Yeah, they really are. So yeah, we will get behind you on that.
Yeah, Indiegogo, you bypass the system.
Yes. And it's nice because with Kickstarter, if you don't make all your money, you don't get any.
Yeah.
And it's nice with Indiegogo, you make what you get what you make.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's, I mean, what a way to kill a project is to work so hard and then they say, nope, you didn't quite make it. You don't get anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's nice you can keep the fight going.
It's interesting seeing that, and especially all the independent filmmakers out right now that are just doing wonderful on that.
Yeah, I recommend Indiegogo over Kickstarter, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You get to keep it. Yeah. Fortunately, I've been getting amazing fan support. We just passed our goal, but the goal is really just stage one, our pre-production.
Right.
So now it's stage two, so we're still going on one more week. ForbiddenZone2.com, all kinds of perks. Even a new reissue of the original Forbidden Zone. You know, I only got the rights back to the damn thing this year. I'm putting my own version together. It'll be black and white. I'll have color, and I'll have special features that'll be nowhere else, only for the ones that we're creating at ForbiddenZone2.com one more week.
Cool.
Wow.
That. Now take my money. You know,
yeah. Yeah. Well, now, see the t-shirt here that you're wearing. Where can we get one of those t-shirts?
At ForbiddenZone2.com.
You got them there too.
But that
your
t-shirt,
one-stop shop.
That t-shirt will be for Forbidden Zone 2,
okay.
And it'll be unique to just the people that get them this next week.
Okay. Oh, cool.
These are gonna be like one run, private press, unique t-shirts.
Nice.
One I can't wear because it's untouchable. It's a piece of artwork.
Right. Exactly.
I need more like that.
So, do you hate conventions as much as we do?
Well, I love it. It's I was at this other thing in Denver maybe 10, 12 years ago called Mile High.
Yep.
And it was radically laid back compared with this. And this is wild.
It used to be that way. It's grown.
It's getting worse every year. Well, it's getting better every year, actually. Yeah. I mean, it depends on your perspective. I guess for me, it's the unpredictability of it. You never know what thing you're going to do at the con that's going to be noticed and going to get taken off, or if you're going to sit in an empty room, or you're going to sit in a packed room. You know, we've done so many of the panels where nobody asks questions.
Yeah, it's just
and dead. Or we go into ones where nobody asks questions, so we sit there and ask questions to try to get people going.
Sometimes
it's really rough.
I was having a really horrible time because I was just at your panel. And you're like, does anybody have any questions? And I'm biting my tongue going, no, because I'm going to wait. Because
for
I have
interview.
To do this in an hour.
we ended up getting questions.
There were some good questions.
Yeah. There were a couple times I had to say, like, okay, I'll tell you all my dirty laundry. And then some hands came up.
You had some good dirty laundry, too.
I sure did, yeah.
The legal issues were the fun ones. I was trying to reiterate a little bit to Baxter about
I'm going to need to hear about this.
your paper stuffing incident. That was...
You mean my... two art-related felony charges.
Those were beautiful.
Totally art-related, not profit-related.
I love that distinction.
Exactly.
That's a fantastic distinction. So how'd the first one go?
Well, the first one was simply like trying to get a crew paid by a slimy producer up at his rich mansion. We took his work print just to get some people paid, the money they were owed. And I got charged with felony extortion. But anyway, I didn't get arrested. We got the charges dropped, although that cost me a bunch. The other one was more fun. I'm a columnist. I write. So I'm doing food and wine reviews, and they're a little salty, they're robust, they're risque. I'm a raconteur. And so this one I had done particular research for, and it was eating at the bars of the best restaurants along the West Coast. And anyway, the publisher, you know, he and I got along, and he went to some special meditation conference, comes back with an editor that doesn't like anything about me. doesn't like meat, doesn't like liquor, doesn't like the sexual language. Fine, don't print the article. Bang, done. Bump into him a later time. My stuff's always been a little salty. What changed? And he said, I found a higher purpose, and now I find your work disgusting.
Oh, man.
So I couldn't sleep all night. Wow. I couldn't. So I woke up the next day, rewrote the article radically saltier than before, and I don't know if I can even share that.
Go for it.
Okay.
We don't have FCC
okay, if there's any kids in the room, get them out of the room. If you're offended, whatever. But
shouldn't be listening to our show anyway.
It was, ladies and gentlemen, leaving Michael's restaurant bar after just a few hors d'oeuvres is like pulling your dick out of a tight, wet pussy. I said that. So anyway, I had the article printed on similar paper, but slightly smaller than their paper. And then I got a crew together in a moving van, busted into their warehouse at midnight, and took all 50,000 copies of the monthly run. I left a note on the wall that the magazine had been requisitioned by the LA restaurant critics, Gorilla Underground. So anyway, they didn't know the thing was stolen. They just thought it went to the distributor. Like somehow, oh, Joe must have, you know, here, because we're talking like a moving van full of stuff. Mm-hmm. By the way, I brought the press with me with the understanding that they couldn't print everything until all the shit hit the fan and was cleaned off the fan or whatever was coming. And I had it distributed to newsstands. So they still, okay, whatever. They've got like their monthly party was coming up that week for the issue, and then the shit hit the fan. And then I was charged with felony grand theft. So the publisher had a cable show. I had stuff on it, no releases, got a temporary restraining order, shut the show, dropped the charges. Now the press ran it all over the place. They called it Grand Theft Ardo. And his circulation went through the roof. 2 months later, he fires that editor. 3 months later, he asks me back to write. We're friends to this day.
That's wow.
But anyway, that was felony grand theft.
That sounds so much like something we'd accidentally pull off. I don't know.
This one was done with a lot more intelligence than things that we do, though.
Well, I'm very considerate of my staff. I got them good and drunk beforehand.
That helps.
It was an Irish restaurant. We had them play Irish revolutionary music, which really put us in the mood. And then I had a lawyer stationed nearby with bail money, because I do not want
to
take advantage of my staff. I've been in and out of the boxing ring 25 years. I can handle myself, but I don't know if all of my staff can under LA County jail conditions.
Right. That is a safety notice for us. Bail money. We've never thought about that.
No, we haven't.
Just to give you an idea.
I've also never thought of Richard Elfman as security for us, too.
Well, that's true, because last year, these words actually came out of my mouth. We're sitting in Vegas in the restaurant in a casino, and I said, so what you're planning is breaking into a room in a Vegas casino. And everybody around me said, yes.
Yep, and we pulled it
and
off.
And we did.
Wait, OJ wasn't along with you, or going after some memorabilia? Or,
no.
Are you kidding? Well,
okay, since we do paranormal investigation from a scientific perspective, we're often associated with what's known as the skeptics movement. And if you've ever heard of the Amazing Randy, James Randi is a magician for the last two centuries,
yeah.
I think he's...
Yeah, actually, I know of him, yes. Yeah.
Well, he's got what's called the $1 million paranormal challenge. If you can prove some sort of paranormal phenomena, he will give you $1 million. So they had, and we, for the last few years, we'd actually been investigators for that particular challenge, and we would actually organize the protocol and everything for the testing. And well, they kind of cut us out of it last year, and they did a really bad job of trying to put together this protocol. So what they did is they had some guy overseas that said he could remote view into any room. So they put these objects in this room, and then they just like taped up the door and locked it and had hotel security on it along with cameras and everything. And we were like, we can get past this protocol. You know, this is not good enough, because this guy had a confidant there at the casino. So we're like, this guy's going to be able to get in and see what these things are and report it to him and get $1 million. So we actually got with Teller of Penn and Teller and discussed things with him. And we didn't use any of his ideas. We ended up going with our own stupid ideas. And we managed to actually get a camera into the room, see what everything was. And we did this whole Keystone Cops thing to distract security. And
it was... It was surreal ridiculous. While we were even coming up with the concept.
Yeah, so it's like, why are we doing this? Because there's no payoff other than the fact that we're just proving we can do it. Yeah.
No, I appreciate stuff like
that. So, yeah. And we went down and we talked.
They call it crimes of art.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
It was.
We went down and convinced the hotel manager, the casino manager, that what we were doing was protecting this $1 million and everything. So we needed to have all the camera footage from... the feeds and everything, so we knew exactly what was going on, and they fell for it. I mean, the green ties, yeah, I'm normally dressed like him. The green ties totally sold it. Everybody
green
believed.
Tie, huh?
Yeah,
so
that's the way to do it.
It was a very remarkable experience doing that, but we've done a lot of really stupid things like that over the years.
Very cool. So, very cool.
I don't know why.
Richard Elfman approves.
We're crazy about stuff like that.
We meet you on our next one. We will give you a call for advice.
So,
you pulled off a nice one there. So,
you know, one thing we should go into, since everybody's listening and they may not know all of the wonderful films that you've done. What all have you...
Well, I've got two other films screening here tonight. I've got Shrunken Heads, interesting voodoo witchcraft story. A lot of fun.
Memories
and then another one called Modern Vampires that actually has kind of a ghost thing attached to it.
Nice.
You know, and then Forbidden Zone. Mm-hmm. Forbidden Zone is really my love child. And we're working on Forbidden Zone 2. But Forbidden Zone, will, I guess the show will have aired. But I'll be doing a Q&A tonight. And I go around the country doing these Forbidden Zone screenings. And now I'm working with Rocky Horror Troops that are performing Forbidden Zone.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I perform with it.
That's
we have a lot
cool.
of fun
that's
with
nice.
These.
Well, it's, you know, I was going to ask you a little bit earlier, you know, what is your favorite project? But then
it's obvious.
It seemed like a very stupid question to ask, because it does seem like you
Forbidden Zone is me.
Yeah.
If you were to cut my head open, you'd see insane musical numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt about that. But yeah, so that's totally cool. I can't wait to get and go check out the website.
ForbiddenZone2.com.
ForbiddenZone2.com. It altered my mind forever.
Did it?
Oh.
It really did. I will never be the same again. In a good way.
So we blame you for that.
Absolutely. It was
now,
wonderful.
You're also an actor. Are you going to be doing any more acting soon?
I'm going to be playing the role of Papa Jupe in Forbidden Zone 2.
Excellent.
He's a degenerate circus geek. Drinks too much. And he's abusive to his family.
Ah. So you've got that $1 million smile.
Yes.
And it just needs to be on screen.
Yeah, by the way, you can see a little bit of Papa Jupe if you go to ForbiddenZone2.com. We've been shooting some little promo videos.
Excellent.
Which are amazing.
Yeah, I haven't got to see any of it yet.
Yeah, you can see Papa Jupe get his ass kicked by Princess Polly. And actually, you can see him get his ass kicked by six other people, including my mother, who's going to play an old Jewish mother in the film. She's personally going to be pulling the king's victory chariot.
Wow.
She's 88, and It's you were taking her to like these senior workouts to get her in shape.
It's glad to see you have the whole family in this production.
Oh yeah, I've got my son Bodie Elfman is going to play Dr. Yodelbean. He's also going to be playing, this is a very difficult part, so he's immersing himself in method acting, but he's going to be playing the male-female co-joined Siamese pinhead twins.
Wow.
She of the red pigtails, he of the red beard. And we're going to watch, this is when we're going into Papa Jupe's past. We're going to watch the female co-joined pinhead Quinn give birth to the Papa Jupe clown baby. And the other co-joined twin looks very guilty. And then Jenna Elfman, my lovely daughter-in-law, she's Dharma, Dharma and Greg. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Many people don't know that she was trained as a classical dancer, professional jazz dancer. She's been twice on the Academy Awards. I mean, mm-hmm. top pro.
Yeah.
So when Papa Jupe bites the head off his daughter Petunia's pet chicken, no, Pa, no, that's my pet chicken. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Oh, what do you mean? You got to put food on the table.
So she's she's suicidal, runs to the park, and the ghost of the chicken descends from the sky. And that's going to be Jenna Elfman doing an aerial ballet choreographed by the Cirque du Soleil.
Wow.
Ballet of the Chicken, going to put Swan Lake to shame. And then she's also, this is for my Rocky Horror friends, she's going to be playing the school teacher dressed like Frankenfurter. We're going to pitch her voice down with her perfect comic nuance. And she's going to do a show-stopping number that my brother Danny Elfman's writing. The question is whose voice is really coming through Jenna's lips? We're going to have fun with Forbidden Zone 2.
It sounds like it.
Absolutely.
That's going to be an amazing
You want to be an extra? ForbiddenZone2.com, 1 week to go.
If only we were there.
Yes.
He wouldn't want
to
kill us,
though. If you need to film a movie in the future where you need two paranormal investigators to get murdered, we're totally up for that. We like being killed in movies.
They're actually screening two movies tonight and tomorrow that we're in. So
yeah, we've been killed. So we like to stack up the IMDb credits of being murdered.
Oh, that's excellent. So, yeah, I about every couple years I get killed in a friend's movie.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah,
I mean you just have to.
There's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't know about you guys, but some of the blood and prosthetics have been pretty ornery.
Mm-hmm.
I took the entire CGI budget out of the last movie we were in. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and the guy who never dances danced amazingly as a half a person.
That's true.
It was very blood good. Screaming. Very, it was a very good death. Very good death. So yeah, we're just you know.
It's great
you know,
to be killed in movies.
Time. Yes.
If people don't understand that haven't been killed in a movie though. I don't get it. Because yeah. I tell people, I'm like, it's my goal to get killed in as many movies as I can, and they're like, is there something wrong with you? I'm like, no, it's great. You just got to get killed in a movie.
Oh. Once you experience it, you'll understand.
Exactly.
But yeah, you get to overact ridiculously, and it's a beautiful way to do it. So, but what do you see after Forbidden Zone 2?
A web series till the end of time and an indie game.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
No, that's it. That's it.
No more details than that.
Yeah. We're gonna go right into a web series, and we've got some people that want to do an indie game.
Very cool.
You know, with the characters in the film, Danny Elfman music.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sacco.
Right.
Wow.
Bosom swinging. You know, the whole nine yards.
That would be good.
So the web series. Have any? Projected dates on when you might get that started?
This will be next year.
Next year.
Next
wow,
year.
That's soon. That's great.
Yeah.
What fantastic. About a release for part two?
It'll be next year. We've
got to get the money going.
Yeah. We're scheduled to shoot it towards the end of this year. You know, then I've got to edit it. I've also, it's great that Danny's famous, that Jenna's famous, but I have to work around their busy schedules.
Stop. You're famous too. Remember that.
I'll take that. But anyway, my brother Danny Elfman's been ridiculously busy, not just doing movies for Tim Burton, Sam Raimi, everybody else. He's been touring the world now doing live orchestra music to Tim Burton movies, and he's been singing on stage again.
Really?
Oh, great.
Yeah, doing stuff from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
And Jenna's got, she's always busy in a TV show and movie projects and stuff.
Right, right.
So, anyway, it's all coming together. All coming together.
Well, it seems like with the amount of energy that you have, that you're kind of going 24 hours a day as well.
25 hours. No fear of death or arrest.
I'm getting t-shirts made. That's it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Beautiful. That really is. Richard Elfman, we are so honored and privileged to have you sit with us and talk a little bit. Is there anything else that you want to say before we get out of here?
Well, go to ForbiddenZone2.com. I've got 5 videos up. You can get a complete taste of the movie. Not just a taste. You can hear the music. You can see some of the characters. You can see the art designs. It's only going for 1 more week. And I want to have a beer with you guys before the evening's over and compare some paranormal stories. I've got 2 good ones.
I've got
2 good ones. Yeah.
Excellent. Now, what is your schedule for tonight?
Well, I'm going to go out on the floor and sign some posters. And then I've got 3 film screening. One of them, Forbidden Zone, I'll do a Q&A after the 9 o'clock screening.
Okay, well, at 8 o'clock, we're doing show, I guess you'd say, down in the horror panel room that you're familiar with. I would say if you have time and you want to drop in there, come up on the stage and tell your stories.
Which room is this, guys?
It's the one you were just in.
Oh, okay. That's at 8 o'clock?
Yeah. So we'll do some more stuff. We've got this fantastic gentleman here, Aiden Sinclair. He's a very, 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 very creepy magician.
Don't worry, that's just what women say.
So he's going to be doing a little bit. We're going to pull him in. And if you came in the room, we'd love to pull you up and have you recount a paranormal story.
We want to promote your...
And it'll be an opportunity to force more people to go to ForbiddenZone2.com.
Yeah, that'll be good. And glad you were playing some music from the film. that was our Forbidden Zone National Anthem, a theme that Danny Elfman wrote. I've got 4 original Oingo Boingo players on that track, by the way, for anybody that's an Oingo Boingo fan.
Nice.
Who isn't an Oingo Boingo fan?
Yeah, they always talk about bringing that back, and Danny he's just been too busy
for it.
Yeah.
I could see that would be a little fatiguing for him at this point.
You know, this is the one place that I did meet Danny, though, because he was at the convention 12 years ago, I think.
Was that Mile High?
No, it was StarCon, or StarFest.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, that was... His joke was it started off as the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo, and went to Oingo Boingo, and then it went to Boingo, and he says, next album's just going to be
Oh.
Well, I'll be barbecuing at his place tomorrow. I'll remind him over a beer.
Excellent.
That was a wonderful thing.
Yep. So we will be actually playing this Monday night. So,
yep.
We'll have it all put together then, and then it'll be an archive so people can go back and listen to it.
Yeah, let me know right away, and then I'll cross-promote it.
That'll work.
Do you have a card with a warning on it?
Actually, Monday night.
We can force it.
You know, why don't we do it tomorrow night?
We could.
Because that'll make sure we get it in there.
Do more people listen Sunday or Monday?
I don't think it matters.
Because
people just
don't listen in real time all the time anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you our 2 cards because it has multiple websites on it. It's the Warning Radio one that you want.
Yeah, and we'll have it up there as an archive so people can go listen to it anytime they want.
Okay, and media.forbiddenzone2.com, take the Forbidden Zone National Anthem. It's 1:45.
You got it.
And, there's another one if you want to put it at the end. The Princess Polly song, the one that starts with "Fuck me now."
That's a perfect one to end with.
That's something I was going
to
ask you about, since we're pretty much over anyway. But the episode, what was it, Monster Maker?
Monster Man, yeah.
Yeah. Is that going to still be part of the production?
Well, that's where we kind of created the Princess Polly character,
right?
But her makeup is evolving. And these are my buddies, Roy Kinnerum at Soda Effects, Jerry Macaluso. We're actually going to do something even more horrid for the ultimate film. Because she's just a poor girl looking for love, even if she has to kill him after she fucks him.
That's what
this is one dangerous teenager in the sixth dimension. as Princess Polly.
That's perfect.
Well, thank you for coming in and giving us some talk.
Well, I'll try to pop in at 8. I've got a couple good ghost stories.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.